Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic.
Well, in the end of Thor, and I haven't seen the Avengers yet, but in the end of Thor, doesn't Loki
die? You should
die?
Really see the Avengers.
Yeah, I know.
You should really see it.
I know.
In the end of Thor, he didn't die.
I thought he died. Well, he fell off like the astral plane or some bullshit.
They do mention it in the in the Avengers movie. He does say something about it.
Is it not too ridiculous a justification?
It's like a throwaway line that kind of justifies it, but not really. It's more of a thing of like, don't worry about it. How about we just enjoy the story? You know, like
I hear that Thor's girlfriend has about an equal justification of her absence in the Avengers.
Yeah,
don't worry.
She's
about
too
it.
Expensive.
Yeah, what did they? What did they say?
They said we're keeping her safe.
I read that. Yeah, she's like doing research on some remote island or something.
Yeah, in a mountain somewhere or something.
I thought with Loki they said he got saved by those guys.
The AstroTurfs.
Like
that, yeah.
The AstroTurfs, yeah.
AstroTurfs. The spring version of the Frostbites.
Yeah, it was a lot of information really quick.
Yeah.
So it was hard to process
like
all
four different superhero worlds.
They were talking to that dude that plays Coulson, because now there's like a growing theory that, like, you know, Coulson's...
He's Ant-Man.
Coulson's, all sorts of different things. Show up in different movies and, like...
Who did I hear is like actually supposed to be writing an Ant-Man?
Well, but he is and he isn't, because you never see anything. You never know what happens to anybody.
I thought you
don't see anything.
Right. Yeah, because he comes back and he's dead. You just see him like check his body, kind of.
Yeah, you haven't seen the film. You're spoiling everything.
Hey, everybody!
Spoiled.
I've been rolling for like 2 minutes, so it's spoiled to the world.
Yeah. He's trying to move you.
Welcome!
We told Nick not to talk about it.
Welcome, everybody, to about 2 minutes and 30 seconds into the Octavarius podcast. This is episode 117 of the podcast.
Feeling mean.
Feeling green.
Oh, Nick just punched me.
And we're running just a little bit behind schedule, so what the hell? Why don't we go ahead round the room and sound off?
It's Nick.
It's Gustavi.
It's LP.
It's the Sun.
It's Brian.
It's Mark.
It's Tim.
K to the ETH.
It's Chris.
And we're all doing well. We're swinging into mid-May. The weather's starting to warm up.
Sunny Chicago.
Sunny Chicago, Illinois is almost a reality. Oh, shit. Uh-oh. Oh, shit. Where is the mail?
I've got it.
Oh, that's why he had
Can
it.
Can I have one?
Of course that's why he had it.
Don't eat all the letter.
I want some of that letter.
This one comes to us from one Ben Kimoon.
Ben Kimoon.
And he writes, "Hey, guys. It's me, Ben. I'm the Secretary General for the UN, and I hear you guys are doing like a NATO summit. What's the deal? No love for the UN? I mean, I guess NATO is like pretty big deal, but we're like all nations, and that's just North Atlantic Treaty. So, you guys want to have me over or something? Also, what are your thoughts on NATO and its impact on Chicago? What's up with that?
I love, first of all, that the first few minutes of this podcast went into ruining part of the Avengers, and now we're diving right into chewing noises.
So, has anybody...
Was it
Ben
Moon, was it?
Yeah, Ben Moon. You can come over anytime. We're at 7...
No!
I work downtown in Chicago, right in the heart of the loop, right by all the finance stuff, and most of the folks that... our customers of mine are not going to be in the city because financial people's safety is at risk because of this NATO summit. But also in my building are a bunch of students. And the students, are some of the people that will likely be protesting. I know a couple of them are. And And they asked me today, a couple of them, they said, you know, are you gonna go out and protest? They know that I have feelings on things, but, you know, they don't know my passion about NATO or whatever.
Did they say which NATO thing they were protesting?
Well,
specifically, we might want to lay out for our listeners who don't know what the NATO summit is about.
Sure.
What it is. I got the Wikipedia page up here.
Boom, hit it with us, Chris.
Yeah, the 2012 Chicago Summit is a meeting of the heads of state and heads of government of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And there's a whole bunch of world leaders that are going to be there. Presidents and prime ministers from, of course, the U.S., but Canada, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Poland, Romania, Turkey, the United Kingdom, Spain. I mean, these are the heads of states from these places. And this year they all meet. It's an implementation summit. And what they're doing is they're planning to craft specific resolutions concerning the Middle East and our relations to Middle Eastern countries and to Russia. So these are giant issues we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, nuclear proliferation. We're talking about, you know, negotiating and working with these, you know, countries that are often, you know, governed by Islamist, you know, extreme movements. So it's giant world policy stuff. So you're going to get a lot of Occupy type people out there. You're going to get a lot of anti-globalization people out there. I'm pretty sure there's probably going to be anarchists who show up to this thing. They show up to the
G8. It's a mixed bag of everybody, yeah. Because yeah. It's an opportunity for, I mean, it's just such a wide net of issues that they deal with, that you get a wide amount of people that are opposed to whatever they're dealing with. So these kids were particularly opposed to, you know, people in the finance industry and, you know, the separation of wealth, not only in the United States, but the growing separation of wealth abroad. And that's what they were. They were really opposed to. And when they came to me and talked to me about it and they asked me what I thought, because we are fairly active. You know, I Made America has some things that are political, and Octavarius every once in a while dips a toe into that water, but not really seriously, because at least in my opinion, and I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a whole lot of solutions. And so, it's hard for me to rail against something when I don't necessarily have a positive solution.
Yeah,
I do feel I have solutions for the United States, and Illinois and Chicago, and Lakeview. I don't feel like globally I would have the awareness to understand that.
I think it's a very, very tricky balance as a comedian too. To be able to talk politics, to talk current events and possible solutions even, while you're still trying to entertain an audience. So, you know, I'll dip a toe in there every once in a while.
No, actually, you get too preachy.
Dip a toe.
Well, but yeah. I think solutions are preachy, and I think when you come out and you say, hey, I have the solution to our problems. If everyone just listened to what I said, we would have these solved. But I think a lot of times what these protests do is just to point out stuff that's a problem. And when you're talking about nukes, you know, sometimes like whenever I watch stuff from the 80s and all that, I mean, they were, you know, or watch stuff from the Cold War, they're very big about nukes. But it's something that we don't think about anymore, that like, oh yeah, we could like blow up the world like seven times like over and like
instantly. If that by accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's huge. And things like this summit, you know, even if you don't necessarily have all the means to get down to a world where there's no nukes, like saying like, hey, the world's at war and like we could all get nuked. You know, that's a problem.
Do you guys think we have the technology and capability, if we wanted to or if it were necessary, to successfully blow up Mars?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, totally. Totally.
To propel...
We could. It's going to be very difficult, only because
so
far away.
To get in there.
Yeah,
Now, I'm not talking about, like, reducing the surface of Mars to rubble or whatever. I'm talking about shattering it to pieces so it is no longer there.
Can we send a nuke into space?
Takes so much
planet. I don't know. I guess that's what I'm asking. Can you send... Do
space
we have the
cowboys,
technology
yeah.
to...
Space, do you guys see Space Cowboys?
Does that involve nukes?
No. Yeah. I watched it recently. In fact, what it is that the plot is that we have to go into space. We have to spend a specific mission to reroute a Russian satellite that is slowly going to descend onto Earth. And they want... But
oh.
only this older, you know, 1960s, 50s, 60s, 70s era... engineer was the person who made this specific type of interface, so only he knows how to do it, and he's also really old, and he gets his old buddies, and instead of, because he doesn't want to teach the new kids, because he wants to go to space, because he never did.
Yeah.
And he's also sort of pissed that the Russians have his engineering design, and they weren't supposed to, so that means that somebody sold it to them. So he goes up to do it. Well, what he finds when he's up there, he finds that this is a Russian satellite that was loaded with 5 nukes, to be ready to send nukes down to America or anywhere that
space
needed to be nuked.
Which is
from
similar
space.
To our Star Wars program in the 80s.
Yeah.
I thought Star Wars was about shooting down nukes.
Yes, it was missile defense.
Because it's all preventative. It's
but
like
satellites,
sort of idea.
Though, is what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
So they're
like
up there, and, you know, the problem is now they've got to figure out, they've accidentally, you know, released these nukes now. Now these nukes are just sort of, because something happens, because one of the younger guys is an idiot and accidentally sets the nukes out off the trajectory.
So they could accidentally nukes. Destroy the Earth, and it's all their fault.
Yes, and basically Russia was like trying to get them up there to route it so that they wouldn't, so that no one would know, but it would still stay in orbit. So those nukes were live and would still continue to be up there if they ever needed them. But of course the Americans who were sent up there would find it, because they're not just going to go up there and not look at what's in the satellite. I mean, duh. So he finds those, but that is apparently, according to Space Cowboys logic, yes, nukes can exist in space.
I can't believe there's so many memorable quotes according to IMDb from Space Cowboys.
Dude, it's great.
It's a fun movie.
Honestly,
I can't fill
it's
up
a
space
time.
Shuttle with Jerry Adkins.
I'm sure you've seen it, right?
Yeah, it's like James Garner, Clint Eastwood.
Dude, it's
Castelvi, lay some quotes on us.
What is a pancreas anyhow? I mean, I don't know what the damn thing does for you besides give you cancer. No. Colonel William
Hawk. Oh, yeah, one of them gets pancreatic cancer.
I drink this. Spoiler. It's good for your libido. That's not a quote, man.
Well, maybe it's from a funny visual.
Jerry O'Neill. Is that a character?
I don't know.
Probably.
I'm asking Keith. He saw it. He's the only one.
Dude, you asking me if I remember somebody's name.
Remember actor names.
Someone on IMDb took the time, and I will let them know.
But I think what's more important than, like, you know, than, like, even these nukes, or at least, I'm sorry, on the same importance as the nukes that we have, mm-hmm. are the nuclear reactors that we have as well, that are essentially living bombs should they be detonated.
Sure.
And we have these, any nuclear power plant, you know, there are plenty of them all over the world. Because nuclear power was established as a better energy source a while ago than coal was. And in some ways it is, and in a lot of ways it's not, because it's very dangerous. And it, you know, they release radioactivity
it's
so much so
it's way safer
that,
than coal, though.
Yeah,
safer than coal.
Incredibly safer than coal.
Right. Well, I mean, it's safer to the people working in it, but it's not safer for its greater impact suddenly.
Yeah, the people in Japan may disagree with you guys.
Yeah, because right now Japan, because of all those earthquakes and tsunamis, their reactor is super unstable.
Yes.
I mean, like unstable like another earthquake over there.
I think it was incredibly irresponsible to put on a fault line.
Yeah, of course. Jeez. I mean, you really shouldn't put them on a coast. Especially not a coast country.
But listen, we have a mountain called Yucca Mountain where we store all our nuclear waste, and that's on a fault line.
That's true.
And that's
oops.
That's like I mean like and that's the thing that happens, and that's the thing that worries me, because sometimes I'm like, oh man, nuclear power, like, you know, you can make so much energy and it's more cost effective, and you can argue that it's more, but it's like, those are one of those, like, you're like, oh, future us will worry about this. And, like, you watch the movies and, like, man, you, like, you watch Terminator 2 and you're like, shit.
Like an oil spill situation where it's like, you know, so humans are like, oh, it'll be fine. And then, like, years later.
Oil spill, you can Well, I mean, you can't clean it up as well. But I mean, like, nuclear...
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But like, obviously, oil spill is, you know, something that has an effect on you throughout 30 to 50 years. And, you know, a nuclear blast has an effect on you in 30 to 50 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I think that points out that, like, humans are in charge of all these things. Like, where do we put all the nuclear things? And it's like humans are in themselves... not perfect. Like, they're going to make these errors.
We make garbage. We're humans. We make garbage. Yeah, we put that garbage somewhere.
No other animals deal with this shit. Ants don't make fucking nukes that they have to, like, deal and have summits with.
They
would
if they could.
They would if they could.
But I was thinking about garbage. I was thinking about garbage the other day and how, you know, garbage, we create garbage. And we make garbage out of, you know, the resources here. And eventually, those resources will turn back to what they were. But at the same time, animals make waste. And waste is essentially unusable garbage until the amount of time it takes to turn back to what it is. So, yes, we are making garbage and that has an effect on the environment, but everything has an effect on the environment. Of course, plastics take longer to degrade and turn into things. But in the grand scheme, so much sediment is going to go on top of those plastics. At the same time it would take for those plastics to change into what they are, they're probably going to be heated up into something different, which is going to increase how fast they turn anyway. You know, rocks, just soil, through pressure and much time, turns into rock, and rock turns into ore, and by different heats and pressures. So everything is constantly in this you know, multi-million year cycle of change. And although we do have an impact on our environment, everything has always had an impact on the environment. The environment is us.
Are you saying recycling doesn't matter? Like, whatever, it all ends up...
I'm saying that recycling in turn, like, unless it's an immediate turn of something into something, like melting glass into different glass, there's not a really big difference. Storing, because most of the plastics, we can't melt them into... the reusable materials we need, and we do, like, tires, they turn into, like, stuff on the ground for playgrounds, but that's still stuff on the ground. Of course, that's affecting, like, if you melt a bunch of tires and turn them into a playground, that playground is no longer, that's garbage in what garbage is. It's not going to be able to grow anything, it can't create oxygen, it can't turn resources, it's not habitable by animals.
Like,
it's,
matter is
it's
matter.
It's garbage, matter. It's habitable by us, for us to play on. But that is no better than a pile of tires in the economic timeline.
What about that compared to a mountain full of nuclear waste?
Oh, of course. I mean, we are, and that's, but there is nuclear, there is radioactive energy without us. In the fact that we are, you know, the space is filled with radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Earth has radiation. Elements decay on their own. We, of course, are going to have a way bigger impact on ourselves. And everything. But over time, everything will reassemble into other things and will create a new environment. And of course, we want to permeate our species. We're humans. We want to live forever and possibly take over the universe. Because that is the only way to win.
And that means that while we do shit right now, because it's like cool, and we're like, look what science can do. And we make stuff, probably in like 100, 200 years from now, we're going to be like, fuck, how do we get rid of all this stuff that we now found out is horrible?
We're already doing that.
We're
fixing 200 years ago's mistakes.
Have you guys heard of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch?
No.
Yeah.
It's
what I want.
Basically, when garbage, mostly plastics, end up in the water, currents take that garbage out into various places. Turns out, due to the rotating currents in the Pacific Ocean, a huge chunk of our world's garbage, plastics again in general, end up in this enormous, like, plastic island is essentially what it is. Reports have suggested that the patch can extend over an area larger than the continental U.S. Recent research suggests the affected area may be twice the size of Hawaii. So, like, at least Hawaii's... No, like, it's like a Hawaii-sized patch of garbage that is just floating around in one area that we just can't do anything
before
with.
I forget, how many, it was a quick question, how many nuclear meltdowns do you think have happened in the United States?
26.
26?
What? Really?
I was going to go for 15.
15?
No, there's one.
A meltdown, isn't like an explosion.
Oh, I know. Just, do you think there were 26?
That's not an explosion or just like a leak?
Meltdown.
Yeah, any actual meltdown, I think there was only
3 Mile Island.
There was only 3 Mile Island.
Yeah.
I'm on Wikipedia, nuclear meltdown, and according to Wikipedia, there are eight nuclear
eight?
Meltdowns
wow.
in the United
States.
You still win. You were the closest, no. right? Or was I close?
Whoever said 15, I think was
yes,
closest.
I win.
I had way too many.
Unless we're doing Price is Right.
I just
know, Price is Right rules.
I just know how, like, in any business of energy.
I had no idea that there would be that many.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Eight, apparently all are widely called partial meltdowns.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
Well, it's like they said in Spider-Man, with great power plant comes great
responsibility plant.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, according to, I'm on Wikipedia, I don't know if we're all sure why, like, they happen, but it says, like, most nuclear meltdowns, the modern nuclear reactor, whether partial or total, should contain the reactor's containment structure. So most modern nuclear reactors are it's very hard for them to have a meltdown. However, almost all nuclear meltdowns in history have been been part of a larger chain of disaster, such as, you know, an earthquake or something happened. For example, in the Chernobyl accident, by the time the core melted, there was already been a large steam explosion and graphite fire.
Uh-oh.
And major release of radioactive contamination.
Yeah, dude, shit happens.
I don't know if I ever want to be anywhere near a graphite fire.
You
know,
I can't even imagine.
That's like the same like chain of events that mines have. Mm-hmm. And I know from my mine safety
here
training.
Here we go.
And the fact that my father is a mining engineer. And actually, I got updated by my dad that he's being sent to so many mines right now because he's become this, like, consultant of underground mining for, like, all of Vulcan, which
he's like big bad Mr. Mine.
Yeah, well, Vulcan's like a Fortune 100 company
for sure.
It's like it's the biggest quarrying industry I think in the U.S. Yeah. It's the second biggest in the world. So he's just going all these places and to all these different places, and he looks at the mines and he just talks and tells them if they're doing the right thing and why they're doing it wrong, and he knows like all the everything. If you just ask him anything, he just knows it, or he'll look it up and he'll find it out.
I would really like to, you know, if I'm going to be told that my mind is not up to par, I'd like your dad to be the one to tell me.
He knows so much, and
but he doesn't.
But anyway,
really, he doesn't make you feel like you're that stupid around him,
right?
Even though you are.
Oh,
he makes you feel like you're almost as smart as him, even though you're not even close.
Yeah. But like the thing that'll happen is like. Anything that's ever gone wrong with a mine, like you've heard of a mine explosion or cave-in, is always like a series of ridiculous events. Mm-hmm. So something happened and there was like a, you know, some sort of leak. Suddenly it was monoxide. What's the word I'm looking
for? Monoxide's a thing.
Carbon monoxide. Sorry, carbon monoxide is a leak. So there's carbon monoxide. So now you don't really know. You can't smell it. There's no way to know. That's what they have the canaries for. And they also have little detectors and rescuers. So that goes off. There's too much. Now you can't breathe. So now you're trying to get out of there. And some idiot decides he's going to activate any equipment. Well, carbon monoxide is going to blow up at any spark. It's just going to, everything catches on fire. It's just like sudden fire everywhere because the air is flammable.
Mm-hmm.
So just sudden fire. It's terrifying. And so there, someone will do something and that will cause a sudden fire. The sudden fire will get to a piece of machinery which will blow up next to a wall that is next to some other weaker fault or something that was just far enough away where it's safe to mine, but not expecting that big of an explosion. So that part caves in, and because of that, like, just nothing works. And you can't use any electricity, and you've got to find your way out of a cave that could be, you know, a mile under the surface. And you've got to get all the way out of this hole in the complete darkness, filled with air you can't inhale. And, like, you might be against a water bank, so it could flood if you're too close to, like, a water
reserve. It's fucking scary as hell, man. It's dangerous.
So there's so much thought for accident prevention that goes into mine. So that's why my dad is consulted on a lot of things. Because there's a million different reasons a problem can happen. And just like in a meltdown is the cause of so many other things going wrong.
But that's the thing about Japan. When that happened in Japan, those people they knew what to do. They told them they're just like, get the hell out of town right now. Get as far away. Like, we need you to get this many miles away. Like, mm-hmm. And they have such an orderly society. It's so based on respect, where if someone in society tells you what to do, you just do it because they know, and they just all kind of listen, and they got out of there, and it was crazy, and it fucked everything up.
You don't think that globalization might have affected the way that the Japanese people act? Like, there aren't any individualistic Japanese. They're just like, no, man, I'm staying.
What it is yeah,
not in something like that. Like, I think if that happened in America, I think if it happened anywhere, people would lose their heads.
Well, in Katrina, you'd have a lot of... we had people say, no, I'm staying.
But they didn't.
Well, I think something...
they planned it out. I mean, they it's such a small, packed in, they must have did tons of this consulting because they constructed the buildings to deal with it. They poured a shit ton of money into mm-hmm. safety, and they knew what to do when it happened, and it really didn't kill that many people. They were very orderly about it, and their society is the reason why.
So while we're mad at them from taking the risk. In all honesty, they needed to take that risk, and they took all the precautions they could so they can survive as a nation. They were just trying to defend their nation, and they are so much about, Japanese have always been about the Japanese. Like, we are a people, and we will live together, and we will figure out a way for this to work. And they are safe about it, and they're orderly, and they understand. They aren't, as divided because they aren't so big.
And it's a trust thing. I think they, when you're that orderly, when you have that, you all trust each other a lot, and you know that this person's not telling you to do something so they can rob you or you trust that they're looking out for your best interest, and you pull together.
Mm-hmm. You guys make Japan sound awesome.
Well, I think they're awesome.
They're
good. Right,
they're a very friendly ally. Really? They're a good. They.
Yeah.
We love Japan. They're great.
Great. The time that we bombed them.
Yeah. We had to run back.
But they've never, that's such a
water
huge
under
thing.
The bridge.
We had to get past some things.
Yeah, that totally happened.
Under the reactor.
Cool.
Yeah.
As soon as we did that to them, we felt really bad.
Whoa, that's me.
They did too.
They did too.
They felt
pretty
awful.
It was war,
man.
We were getting killed over there.
War had to end.
They did kind of start.
They raped a lot of people.
We also started.
Did
they kill Ben Affleck? I don't remember.
Everyone did.
They killed Josh Hartnett? Which one did they kill?
Both of them, dude.
Really? Yeah. They both die in Pearl Harbor?
No.
Dude, spoiler.
I haven't seen Pearl Harbor.
Neither have I. That's
I guess
why
that's
I'm
payback for the Avengers stuff earlier.
No one's
you haven't seen Pearl Harbor?
Why?
Well, the trailer for Pearl Harbor is the greatest trailer ever.
It is.
I agree.
That is true.
And I feel like I pretty much got everything I needed to know about the movie.
And then you see Pearl Harbor and you're like, oh.
How many animal crackers are put in how many girls' panties?
24.
What? Oh, God. That's only Armageddon, man.
Well, exactly. Why should I bother?
Another great space nuke movie. It's not a new. It's just a bomb.
So it's Deep Impact.
Oh yeah,
Jemison is having a field day in this here in the chat room. Whoever Jemison is,
Jemison.
That's Jerry Mason.
Oh, is it?
J.E. Mason.
Jemison.
What's he saying? What's he have to say?
I want
to
do some Jemison shots.
What is he talking about?
He alerted me to the presence of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, among other things.
I was reading about that.
I just imagine this garbage patch growing lungs and breathing and becoming this giant monster of garbage.
Gross.
Garbage monster.
We just had a visitor to the studio. Scott Danielson, regular podcaster, has just arrived, just in time for our pretty whimsical, wandering conversation
on
Earth Dangers.
No. Did you tell them what it was?
Wait, what the hell are we talking about?
This is going to be, what do you think we're talking about now?
I got to minimize my windows.
I get no hints?
You're getting zero. You know what? I'll give you a hint. Our start off was NATO, the NATO summit. That's it, where we started. We started with NATO. Granted, it has been some time.
All right.
Do you? What do you think we're talking about right now?
Recycling.
Ooh. That was like 10
we were there
ago.
Like 10 minutes ago.
Very close.
15 minutes. This has got to be really exciting for people listening.
I almost forgot.
Captain Planet.
Captain Planet. Oh no!
I feel like we're almost there. I feel like we were almost there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's just continue, and then he can figure,
yeah,
it,
he'll figure it out.
What were we talking about?
I was gonna say I wrote a paper when I was a kid about space debris. We put a lot of fucking garbage into space, man.
Oh yeah, we did.
There's
Who
like,
cares about, well, dude, I mean, fuck that shit. Send
there's
it into
so
space.
Much
there's
space.
So much shit. There's like, it's so much.
You know what, Chris?
It'll get to the sun.
Chris,
yeah. we have a lot of garbage there. But there's even more space.
We got so much space.
Space
like,
is
everywhere.
That's the one place where I can't really feel bad about sending our garbage.
Doesn't it smash into shit?
Can you?
Doesn't
whatever.
It
there's
so much
eventually.
Shit up there.
Do you think the
they
sun's
going to
care?
What?
Is
that
what you're going to say?
I was like, do you think the sun's going to care if a Pepsi flies into
okay.
it?
Okay.
It's the sun.
No Pepsi bottles we have put into space are anywhere near the sun.
Right. How do you know? The sun.
You're right. If
in.
They will
it's
get
like
there,
the
maybe.
It's
hundreds of thousands of years.
Makula, the sun does not suck things in probably like you think it might.
It's in Lost in Space, it does.
Well, that's not how suns work. The sun has
crazy.
Gravity just like the Earth has gravity. How much a Pepsi bottle is going to be pushed into the sun depends on its distance away from the sun.
What if we throw it really far out the window of our spaceship?
Like, in the direction of it.
Well, what if other space garbage knocks into it and then it goes into the sun?
Well, if you throw it directly, if you throw it at the direction of the sun, it'll probably go straight into the sun.
All you have to do is you get a 2-liter and you send it with a gentle twist. Yeah. So it sort of slowly rotates and propels itself toward the sun.
There's so much garbage in space. You think that these spaceships and films.
Dude, it's our legacy to throw garbage in space.
That's
our legacy. Dude, that's our legacy.
I believe,
how are aliens
going to
know what we were up to?
You know what's going to happen?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, at some time in the future, in the not too distant future, at one of these summits, when we go and do, you know, try to take over the universe because we've discovered other life forms, we're going to eventually have to work with them in some sort of NATO-like setting, and they're going to be like, hey, why don't you clean up all your fucking garbage that's smashing into everything?
Then that's the point
and
where
we're
like,
that
wasn't
dicks.
Us. Dude, that wasn't
us. That wasn't
us.
Us. Have you been to Mars? They have water on Mars. Go to Mars and yell at
they
them.
Can so prove it. They have technology far more advanced than us.
Well, not only
then
that.
Why don't they dispose
dude,
of our garbage?
I don't know. I'd try lying.
No, they might pick it up and get all pitchy at us.
But
I'm with Brian. I'll back him up.
Yeah, we're that. But
I just feel like there's so much space that there's no way they can ruin it.
But we are.
What do they know?
We are. We have enough space garbage, and it's that important to us that I believe every piece of space garbage that we've sent accidentally into space, we actually have cataloged, and we try and pay attention to where
it's
it is relative to us.
Excuse me, human being. I see you have a case of Pepsi bottles there. There's a crap ton of them in space.
What?
No,
what's up with the garbage, man?
It was like, do you guys remember that?
It's not our catalog. It's not our catalog.
Do you guys remember when that it happened? Like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, somewhere around there, where there was like a piece of space garbage. I want to say it was like a toolbox or something like that that was floating around in space, and it was close enough to the Earth's atmosphere that you could, in theory, like see that toolbox.
What?
The space toolbox with like a high powered telescope. You could see our garbage in space.
There actually is a like a garbage layer, and I think it's like just below the satellite layer.
God, how depressing that is.
It's not a lot. I mean, really,
it's still a layer.
Is it like a wall?
Is it like a hefty bag?
It's protection, dude.
But like, okay, in reality though, if we got garbage beyond Earth's gravity, there's so much space.
There is. And even if you launch it in any given direction, the likelihood that it will ever hit anything are so minuscule.
If I see the space toolbox first, do I get to name it?
No, I think they have a name for it already.
The Craftsman Star.
I think they name space garbage like a boring series
of letters.
If they
have a name for it already, then I'm not the first to see it. What if I'm the first to see some secret garbage?
Well, you might be able to name that space garbage.
Doesn't it burst into flames in our atmosphere?
Well, in our atmosphere, orbit. Yeah. But if it's still floating around in space, like if it's up at the satellite level, then, yeah. then it'll be totally fine.
Yeah, I see, I see.
Just what would you out. Name it, Keith?
Space Toolbox. I just want my name attached to it.
Keith Space Toolbox.
His name is Keith.
Dude, I would totally take the nickname Space Toolbox. What a great nickname for anybody.
Is that STB over there?
Yo, what up, Space Toolbox?
I'm down with STB.
Wait, Toolbox? Like you're like a box? And like
Space Toolbox.
Yeah, Space Toolbox.
Space Toolbox.
That's fun.
Let me get that ham. Do you guys have
anything that you... What are your... Does anyone have gripes with NATO?
With NATO?
With NATO?
Okay.
No.
I just don't... Yeah, like, I understand protesting, I understand the validity of it, but at the same time, it's like, who's going to be listening at this NATO conference? Like,
everybody in the world.
I'm on
corporations, man.
NATO protest.
No, if you're out there making a lot of fucking noise at NATO, like, trust me, people notice. Like, there are people who really... I mean, this is a big deal, all these countries being together. Every news outlet in the world is going to be covering it in some capacity. If you're out there, if you're the only one who does it, you're the only guy with a sign out there, and everyone in the world sees you. Like,
I guess just of in course my mind, people are protesting. I imagine all these world leaders in like one giant conference room. That's probably not how it is. But
no,
like,
that's pretty much it.
And if you like, if you're trying to get people's box. Attention, mm-hmm. you
got
know,
head of a dragon at the base.
I feel like maybe the news will catch them. I don't think these world leaders will like pay attention to.
What if you do some like that? But people do crazy shit at these things. You know? People set themselves
what if you
on fire.
Fuck
at
a bear.
Like,
you
know?
Fuck a bear on the steps of NATO. Dude, everyone will remember that. Like a fucking
black.
Dude, that's going
to
be on
the... Me, if you're fucking a bear at NATO to protest, what is your message that
you're
trying to get
across? It doesn't matter. I can say whatever
I'm curious. What would be your message?
Not enough bear claws.
It'd be in giant fucking 92... point
you'd
font type
bear law all over the world
on the front of the Huffington Post.
The right
just
bear
him
bears.
Fucking a bear at NATO, and it would just like, dominate the news.
Bear, would be
bear fucker sedated. Ruins everything.
Wait.
I'm imagining
bear is heavily sedated.
Heavily
so you're
sedated.
Just fucking a sleepy bear.
Yes.
Rahm Emanuel. Quote: This is why we can't have nice things.
I am in fact raping a bear.
That's terrible.
Maybe it's symbolic of how we're abusing.
Dude, we're abusing nature, so we're raping Mother Earth.
I'm imagining this just really confused like potbelly bike delivery guy who just brought sandwiches for all the world leaders and just walks out to see that.
It's Castelli's humping the living daylights out of this drugged up bear.
Like, everyone is just silent, I assume.
How long do you go to jail for
there
that?
Would be a 40-foot radius of just nothing where the humans would not want to get anywhere near me.
Now, Keith, he would.
Yes, it's definitely a crime.
No, he wouldn't go to jail for it as long as he had a permit and he wasn't videotaping the cops that were watching him do it.
Oh, man.
Well, I feel like you'd go to jail.
I think you can't fuck it.
I brought a wild animal.
If you don't, or even if you do for only a little bit, you can totally make that a show. Like, you sell in Chicago, you just, like, why I fucked the bear. And it's like, it's a show, and you can put anything in that show.
Based
sell
on true
out.
Events.
Dude, that is some huge coverage. I just have to wear a t-shirt of whatever, you know...
Matt Castelvi tells all. Answers questions like... Why'd he fuck that bear?
It would be great if when you were...
Where'd you get the bear?
You fucking the bear.
And
you just
what's
had a
up
shirt,
with that?
You just had a shirt on your back that said, Who is Buscow?
Wow. Famous. That's a meme, then. Then you get memed.
Dude,
you get memed in the internet forever, dude.
Then I can Buscow. Finally die.
First you get the meme, then you get the power, then you get the women.
Oh, women bears.
Has anyone ever...
Who
sexy-ass women bears.
Oh, God.
How did it get to this?
These are
good there.
These are important world issues.
This is next level shit.
According to, you know, there's a NATOprotest.org that I'm on right now.
Can you register about your bear fucking one?
I can't. No, apparently no. But it has a it literally has a link or a tab that says why protest.
Wow.
And,
oh, why?
Apparently they're all mad at the wars that are happening. Is the categories that are right now.
Me too.
The main ones. So yeah, I think.
Right.
I don't know what that has to do with people like and businesses.
It's not like I'm like way behind what they're doing. I just don't. I just have other stuff going on.
And we're mad.
Like, oh, there's just so many things that these guys are mad at. It's just like a whole page.
I'm just not that mad in general. Like, I disagree. I just have a lot of other stuff to do that day.
Furiously.
I'm just mad they're shutting down the damn highways when I need to use them.
Yeah, that sucks. I feel like this gives... I feel like NATO gives everybody a free pass, though. Right? Don't you feel like... I feel like NATO
only
is the
for
same
work.
As, like,
ruins your fun. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, my parents have tickets to the Cubs Sox game at Wrigley, and they have to take 90 in, but now they can't.
That's this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
90?
Oh, my God.
No, 90 is closed.
Major highways are closed on Friday night.
Forever.
From
O'Hare to downtown.
Like
and a decent amount of 55 and Lakeshore.
Wow. Yeah. And some, like, random other, like, by the Sears Tower and by the, like, the Board of Trade and stuff.
God, they don't want people getting near those places.
I can't wait for the bar crawl. NATO bar crawl.
Let's do it.
Dude, if we... Do you want to do that?
Yes, I'm
NATO right bar crawl.
Dude,
if
I have
we,
Saturday
if we set that up,
off.
We will be heroes.
Let's do it. No,
where would
serious.
We bar crawl?
Like, anywhere,
would,
anywhere.
Just downtown.
Do we dress up as the people of NATO?
Yes.
Of countries?
No,
do we wear suits?
Oh, I thought you meant we bar crawl downtown by NATO.
Oh, could we do that?
Oh, I thought
no,
you
they'd be closed. Everything's closed.
I don't know, man. They would
be open. Hooters will probably be open.
Hooters. We'll get some wings.
Okay. Dude, protest. We're bar crawling at Hooters.
Dude, I'll...
we'll go from one
dude,
Nick to
is
the
doing
other.
Possibly
totally
the most grotesque
entirely,
dance
dude.
I've ever
well,
seen.
Well,
if we find out who's open during the weekend,
computer,
I'd
boy.
Do it.
What? What do you want me to want?
We
want
to be open in the loop. We need plans now. The
Saturday?
World must know.
All right, I'm looking.
We should invite everyone we can.
Come on, make a Facebook
event. NATO bar crawl.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Dress up as a representative of a country and let's get to drinking.
Or just make up a country that you're the leader of and
Estonia,
come ready to drink.
Cup.
We'll all get drunk and solve the world's problems.
Dude, Saturday. All drunks are brothers.
So...
Yeah, it's
dude,
gotta
I
be Saturday night.
I guarantee the bars are open downtown. Mm-hmm. Protesters like to drink too, right?
They're people.
They're
not monsters.
They're not monsters.
Why
didn't
we think of this sooner?
Surely they want to drink.
Good
there.
Idea. Brian.
Should we get a T-shirt that says like NATO 2012 or something?
Like need to drink. I don't know.
Wait, what?
I'm trying to make an acronym for it.
Oh.
Need a
drink.
Tall order.
Yeah.
Need a tall order.
NATO ice.
NATO ice.
Shotgun beers on Michigan Avenue.
We shouldn't do that.
Listen, a lot of those people are going to be drunk. You know, it's a big crowd of people.
It's NATO, so people are going to be hammered.
Biggest drinking day of the year.
Let's just do
NATO,
it.
Let's do the same thing.
If they trap us in Chicago, let's all get drunk in it.
Dude, when
that's
you're
what we should do.
When you're Irish, it's like every day is NATO.
Oh, we gotta do this. I wish.
Dude, we can make drinking games like based off of signs we see. Weird shit
oh,
that's
man.
There.
I can't wait to do this.
You
I
know
mean, you'd have
be...
to be sneaky about
how many people do you think are going to be like a message, like dressed as a cow or dressed as something?
Dude, Nick's
going
to be dressed
a
as a cow.
To make a statement like, we are blind
oh,
to the tyranny,
the
milk the system.
milk the system.
Milk it for all you got.
I bet you there will be at least a solid handful of them.
Utterly
for sure. For sure.
And the ladies.
Nick, if you
and
wear the cow costume, I'll wear a banana costume.
Dude, I'll totally go in costume. Into this thing.
NATO is not appealing.
All puns.
Oh, I'll just be like, let's mustered up the troops to make peace.
Just not too much.
We'll be
in an Olympic race.
Where are we racing?
In our animal costumes. Could
is this the same day or a different?
You want to
same
make
day.
War?
Like
can it?
Dash.
Oh,
we're racing for the cure to NATO.
Oh my gosh, this is gonna be so fun.
This summit is causing too much pandemonium.
That'll be so confusing in the turkey costume.
This war is doggone stupid.
Well,
broom, I'm a car.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
No.
Oh, yep.
No.
Well, I wonder, you know, no, like no blood last, oil. The last NATO summit was in Portugal, and I'm wondering if when Portugal had it, if amongst all the protesters, a swarm of hipsters just cascade over the protest. Like, what will probably happen in Chicago? Like, probably a bunch of hipsters will be there. In addition to, like, people who've, like, come from all
over. Dude, let's go to Wicker Park and just watch all the fucking dust bowls just roll by.
Hello?
Hello?
Is anybody in?
Ain't you heard, kids? NATO!
Can, if we go to Wicker Park and it's empty, can we wear spurs so we can have those?
Dude, let's
little...
dress like,
obviously.
Let's just dress like we're in Boys Town, dude. Let's go as like and just you know, just assless chaps. And fuck, just anything to piss off the hipsters.
NATO Bark also.
You'll never
more fun.
Know you were there.
You know, I walked through Boys Town yesterday and I didn't realize that I had an Obama shirt on.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, I felt like I was getting extra attention. And I was like, oh, my hair must be looking good or something. I was wearing the Obama shirt and like, I forgot.
Did they make a comment
like,
about it?
Like, this whole, what, yeah, it was just like a lot of, I just, and people were like.
Nice shirt.
Yeah, like, positive about it. And I'm wondering, like, will that come up? Even at NATO this
Boys
year,
Town?
As part of human rights,
we want to disarm.
Oh yeah, he's going to be.
What's this about gays?
I mean, our president just you know talked about that.
True, I guess our all other countries ready for that? Like we are. I mean, we're not even ready for it.
Yeah,
but
I don't even know what we are.
I know what other countries
we generally feel.
Well, I mean, I mean, they might talk about you know Iran. Like that, I don't know if that's on the agenda. That seems like a thing they'd talk about.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Russia, I would imagine, would be on.
Oh yeah,
conversation.
How do you guys think it would feel like when Chris, when you're first reading off the list, you know, and you're like, and they talk about their policies regarding Russia, and I feel like Russia, you know, we've been like cool with for a while, but obviously, you know, there's a lot of shit.
Dude, they
has gone down.
No matter how cool we've been, they always have planes flying from Russia over to Alaska.
Like,
just checking up on us.
But that's what I mean.
And
like,
we check up on them. It's crazy.
Like, you're Russia, you know, and you know, like, oh man, all these other countries are meeting and talking about me.
Yeah.
Like, I bet that
feels
weird.
I wonder
what
they're saying.
But it feels cool.
Oh my god.
They probably also have spies.
Because they're the most popular girl in that school now.
We caught a sexy Russian spy a couple of years ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we did catch her.
Yeah, she's sexy. What was the name of
that
sexy
lady?
Russian spy?
Did you hear that when
the
family was posing as an American family and shit?
Yeah.
And they were just Russian spies.
What?
Yeah, that's years ago.
In the suburbs and shit? I don't know what
Nick,
her name
just
is.
Just Google sexy Russian spy.
I'm not going to come up with real results.
Do that.
I'm
going to
do it.
Just Bing it, Tim.
I will look that up. And
I'm gonna get to it first.
On my computer. So.
Is that Anna Chapman?
Oh my god!
That's the first thing we got.
Oh, you're all welcome.
I say Femke Jensen.
She's awesome.
That's cool. It's nice to know that some of these classic ideas don't die.
Anna Chapman, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's her, dude.
Yep.
She's not a bad looking spy.
She's not a bad looking spy at all.
Wait. That's a real spy.
That's
guys,
a real spy.
Her spies are up there.
She does
so much.
Decent.
Give me that
crown.
She's I see her like modeling at a fashion show.
Yeah,
I think those ones are
like,
shot.
I think we traded her for like some of our spies that they might.
Surely.
Have.
Yes.
I think that's what happens.
That's generally what happens with spies. Is they get traded back and forth from spies.
I'm seeing some dubiously sexy photos. These are coming from New York Post, but these are still dubious.
Yeah, no, New York Post is dubious, dude.
Yeah.
They're sleazy. Yeah.
Show me.
Oh, sorry, Nick. I mean, here she is.
For a spy.
She's like a redhead? Yeah.
I hope they had to trade her for, like, two less attractive spies.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to Castelli talk dirty to his screen.
Yeah, you dirty girl.
Yeah, spy on me.
Oh, yeah, I want that.
Get all that classified dick.
All 18 holes of it. All 18 holes of classified dick.
Lots of things have 18 holes.
Man, when I get tired of spying on folk, I love to go golfing. But I'm terrible.
Well, that's a shame. It sounds like you need some of Cloud's golf tips.
I mean, I'm horrible.
First, find a bear from the forest nearby. While your opponent is stretching out, just grind up on it a little bit. Part two, when your partner is about to make his swing, just give you a bear a little shimmy shimmy. And part three, when he's got his club in the air, that's when you start to make your love.
This has been Clown's Golf Tips.
I'm so inept.
Beautiful secret.
He'll never make it. He's too distracted.
By his friend. It's fucking a bear.
Yeah.
Or opponent.
It's about world peace, though. So, sure, good cause.
Now, folks, we are running just a little bit low on time here, getting to the end of the podcast. But as you all know, we record this on Monday and release it to the public every Friday. Which means, as you're listening to this, it is May 18th, which means we have some very special birthdays to shout out to all our faithful listeners. So, happy birthday, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, professional yes. wrestler.
Happy birthday, Hong Kong superstar Chow Yun-fat.
Nice. Oh, I love him.
Happy birthday, American country musician George Strait.
Happy birthday, Mr. October, Reggie Jackson.
Happy birthday, musician Jack Johnson.
And a very special birthday goes out to Perry Cuomo, romantic balladeer.
And happy birthday. I'm going up. Do you see something?
Do they honestly have Perry
Happy
Cuomo?
Birthday, Tina Fey.
Oh, yeah, that is a birthday.
American writer slash actress.
Oh, but I feel a little sad after hearing all that happy stuff. Do you have any in memoriams?
Well, of course I do. Well, to the friends and family. It's a light one.
To the ancestors of Alexander III, the great king of Macedonia, who died today.
Oh, sure.
Good man.
Sorry for your loss.
I'm sorry for your loss.
It's sad when... someone we find significance dies on this day. Like, all these people that died today, I haven't heard of you. I don't care much about you.
It's always hard, because I forget that's part of the bit, too, so I forget to look at that in advance.
I've had this set up since the beginning of the podcast.
God damn it. Well, folks, we are just about out of time for realsies now. Really, really cutting it to the end.
We probably don't have time for that many more words then.
No. Barely
like
even
eight
have,
or less.
Barely even have time for a single sentence. You know what? I could give us maybe 7 words.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess I could give us Nick Makula's
7 words of wisdom.
Space. Up. Down. Left. Right. Bear, no.
This has been Nick Makula's 7 words of wisdom.
Isn't that nice?
Sounds a little resigned at the end.
No.
Any more words?
For the real
you never ask for more words.
I need more words. No, I won't ever ask for them. I'm saying I need more words. But I won't ask for it.
Okay. Therein lies the eternal challenge of Nick Makula's 7 words of wisdom.
It's not enough.
Cool.
Sometimes it's enough.
Sometimes. Often it's not.
No.
All right. That is going to do it for us, folks. But remember, pick these episodes up on iTunes or on Octavarius.com every single Friday. And until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week.
Bye.
Run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.